From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today, On Deadline is looking at the housing market, which could be on the verge of offering relief after more than a year of struggle for prospective buyers who've had to weather a volatile market with high mortgage rates and record prices. The first step in this positive direction came last week. That's when the average mortgage rate for a 30-year fixed loan fell below 6.5% for the first time in 15 months. According to mortgage financing giant Freddie Mac, rates averaged 6.47% last week, the lowest average rate for the typical 30-year mortgage since May of 2023. The figure is also down almost a whole percentage point from when mortgage rates peaked this May at 7.22%. That number represented a two-decade high. Now experts are expecting prospective buyers to be more willing to jump into the market. Could more Americans be packing their bags this fall to move on up from a rental or starter home? Sam Kateer, Freddie Mac's chief economist, says yes. He added that lower rates bring greater purchasing power and more interest in buying. Lawrence Yoon, the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors, also noted that those who were priced out of the market earlier shouldn't be afraid to try again. To share more on the potential heating up of the housing market, broker Frank Tarala joined Odyssey. He's the past president of the Greater Detroit Metropolitan Association of Realtors and RealComp.
So how are these lower rates going to help home buyers? I mean, are they going to move up extra $10,000 in what they can buy, $100,000?
Well, I would say it can give them that opportunity to do that with the savings that they'll have in the lower rate. So we do expect that to occur.
All right. So they may also help when it comes to financing as far as just the monthly payment. If they're sticking where they're at, how much does a 6.47% 30-year fix save them over where we were at one point up around 7, I guess?
That's a great question, Mike. So a 7% 30-year mortgage at $100,000 is around $665 a month. At 6%, well, at 6.5%, that number's $632. So you're saving $23. So, and if you accumulate that over the years, it can make a significant difference for you.
But does it make a difference in what you qualify for? I mean, everything is done on your credit rating, right? I mean, does it change your credit rating that much?
No. So if someone was in that payment range, they could then be that borrower who just does take on a bigger note.
Are you still hoping for more drop in the interest rates?
I think it's coming, Mike. I hear and read a lot about mortgage rates, and I would say the best two barometers that I follow for mortgage rates are the National Association of Mortgage Brokers and the Mortgage Bankers Association. And I would just say that they respond quicker than bureaucrats to the economy. So I would say the Fed follows those rates rather than they follow the Fed rate.
Most people that I'm listening to are talking about what it costs to live these days. I mean, that's what's really hurting them. Not so much the mortgage rate. It's when you go to the grocery store, it's the egg rate or the milk rate or the cheese rate, whatever they're buying, steak rate. Is that having an effect on your buyers?
No, and the people that I talk to, Mike, certainly that impacts them financially, but they really look at insurance and taxes today when we're buying homes, that, these house values have gained so much value that if there's a claim, that can be a much higher number, and those assessed values are increasing also. And it kind of makes me think of this story you had earlier today of the doom spending. You see that in real estate also, that you just really have to set a budget and stay inside that budget. Don't let emotions take control.
Where are we at as far as the market goes? I mean, everybody always asks, is it a buyer's or seller's market? I'm more interested in how many homes are out there? Is it a race to get them? Are people still overpaying for what they're getting?
You know what? For what I would say, Mike, the properties that are turnkey, 8, 9, and 10 properties that need little or no work, those properties still market quickly and for the best money. And in some areas we're seeing in the country where inventory is starting to build and they're seeing their markets decline, that's not the case here. Our inventory levels are increasing, But the quality inventory is coming off the market very quickly, with multiple offers over full price.
Recently, Frank, I've heard some analysts say, you know, I'm one of the evil people. I'm an old homeowner who's not ready to sell yet, and I'm part of the problem. Has that changed, or are people finally ready to downsize or move out of their area and give kids, younger people, a chance at their home?
Well, I tell those folks, Mike, that they're ruining our average by staying, but they don't worry about that. But I would say that, you know, it's a math equation, Mike, and some people look at the increased value in the home they're in and the home that they would purchase when those tax values get reset. Again, sometimes the math, they're going to downsize their home and pay more money. So it really has to be a long-term outlook where your utilities would be a little lower, that, you know, you're not going to see that impact in the first year or two, but outside of 5 years, it would make a tremendous difference financially.
Are you seeing more houses on the market? I mean, more inventory, as they like to say in the real estate biz?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have a buyer I've been working with a long time. The last house we lost, they said, wow, there were only 5 other offers this time. So, yes, it's still, the market's been somewhat this way for quite some time.
Have the prices continued to go up, though? I mean, that was also an issue. You had low inventory and higher prices.
You know what? Absolutely. And what I did, Mike, was I looked at just July sales from 2023 and July sales from 2024. And breaking them down in $250,000 increments, the only price range that saw less sales was under $250,000. And I would say the reason that is because last year, a house that was $250,000 is now closer to $300,000. So they're moving up in value range. And so, but the market was up 5% July of this year to July of last year.
A recent report from Zillow has found that while the average entry-level home in the country costs around $200,000, there are 237 U.S. cities where starter homes cost about $1 million. You heard that right. Just 5 years ago, there were only 84 cities where the cost to get in a starter home was that high. For those million-dollar homes, $200,000 would just be the down payment. But even with these high prices and high mortgage rates, some buyers are still plunging into the market. Redfin reported earlier this month that over half of homes in San Francisco were sitting on the market for just 30 days before being sold. Real estate agent Patrick Barber joined Odyssey in the Bay Area to share what's going on there and how trends in the housing market could be shifting.
30 days doesn't seem like a long time to me. Is that a long time for a house not to be sold?
You're absolutely correct. I think the headlines of a stale market because a property sits for 30 days is definitely a misnomer. And no, it's not a long time at all, especially when you look at historical days on market.
What would be a typical time that a house would be sitting on the market before it's sold?
Well, you know, we've been through unprecedented times with the pandemic, yeah. The lack of inventory, so many people locked into their homes because they've got, you know, wonderful low long-term interest rates in the, you know, 3%, 4% range. And last year in April, rates started to jump and got all the way up to 8%, and that froze the market. So a lot of people are stuck in the properties they're in and not moving. And so the inventory has been low, and that's put pressure on the supply. And so the demand has remained constant, and therefore prices have been rising.
But greater pressure now is being put on Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, to bring those interest rates down. We're seeing now that the jobs numbers weren't as high as they should be. Unemployment is beginning to tick up. And fears are if he doesn't lower those interest rates, we are going to go into a recession. If the interest rates are lower, how long do you think it'll take before more people put their homes on the market and increase the volume that you have?
That's a great question, Pat. And you're right. The talk now is not, will there be a rate drop in September by the Fed, but will it be a half a point or 50 basis points versus the 25 quarter point that they've been talking about because of that very jobs report that you just discussed. You know, there's a lot of people that thought the Federal Reserve mismanaged the early days of interest rates dropping and dropping and didn't stop dropping them early enough. And sure enough, that cheap money, you know, flooded the markets. And now some people are paying the price. As far as how long it will take for that to wash through, I think a lot of individuals don't realize that the lenders are watching the markets very closely, and they tend to price in reductions in rates before the actual rate reduction. So right now, the interest rates are down to about 6.6% if you've got very good credit, down from, you know, over 7% just a few months ago. So part of the quarter point that has been expected in September is already baked in, and that's why at Compass, we're advising our buyers to take advantage of this lull in the market and news articles like this Redfin story that misquote a stale market, and take advantage of that and get your offers in and get that property locked down at an interest rate that you can live with.
I was just going to say that it kind of is a buyer's market, isn't it?
It certainly feels that way, and especially in certain areas of the market. For example, the condominium market in San Francisco, which went through a very difficult time, especially larger high-rise buildings. There are some very, very good values in those buildings.
While Halloween is still a couple of months away, some homeowners are starting to face what's being dubbed zombie or ghost mortgages. To share more on exactly what these spooky mortgages are and how they could impact the market as a whole, Jacob Inwald, Director of Litigation for Economic Justice at Legal Services NYC, joined Odyssey.
What we're talking about when we're talking about zombie mortgages are basically second mortgage loans that were packaged together with mortgages that were marketed during the heyday of toxic predatory lending. Most of these first-time homebuyers didn't even know that they were being given a second mortgage when they took out these loans. And they were pretty much left for dead by the lenders more than a decade ago during the foreclosure crisis, because there was no equity in those homes. So there was no way that a lender could recover on these loans. So most of these homeowners have not heard about them for years. Fast forward 10 years or so, and market conditions change, and real estate values have skyrocketed. And these second zombie mortgages have been sold to debt buyers on the secondary market, who are now seeing an opportunity to try to recover on those loans. They paid pennies on the dollar for them, and they're bringing these actions to try to foreclose on these second loans that the homeowners have not heard about for sometimes more than a decade. So that's what we're talking about. Many of the debts that they're trying to recover are not even recoverable, because they're barred by what lawyers call the statute of limitations. In other words, you can't sit on a claim forever and then expect to be able to recover on it. So some of those loans can't even be recovered. But for people who don't have access to an advocate and the ability to preserve their defenses, there's a real risk of loss of their homes on these zombie second mortgages.
Oh, boy. So how do these lenders get away with not sending out statements and not telling the homeowners that they owe this money?
That is a really good question, which I can't necessarily answer, because there are legal requirements that statements be sent on a regular basis. But partly this is a function of what was going on in the mortgage markets during the years that led to the foreclosure crisis in the late 2000s. So mortgages would be given by a bank, and then within days of originating that mortgage, they would be sold off on the secondary market. So they're traded over the years, going from one entity to another, and a tremendous amount of sloppiness. But as I said, because there was no perception that they could actually recover on any of these loans for years, they were left for dead. But that didn't stop, you know, bottom feeders in the secondary markets from scooping these mortgages up for pennies on the dollar. There's not that much downside for them, because they didn't pay very much for them. So whatever they can try to extract out of this process, that's what they're trying to do.
What about for homeowners who may not be aware of any zombie mortgage out there in their case? How can they find out if there is one, and how can they shield themselves from being stuck with it in the future?
Well, again, although you can search the property records yourself and try to see whether there's a second mortgage that's recorded against your property, the best thing that you can do if you think you're at risk is to really find lawyers. There are free legal services available. It's serving every county in New York State, which are actually funded by the New York State Attorney General's office. It's called the Homeowner Protection Program. And every county has free legal services available. And if someone has a concern that they're at risk, they really ought to get help and consult with one of those free providers, not with the many scammers who are trying to go after them, but the reputable free legal services that are available to homeowners through that HOP program is really the best bet to get your situation evaluated and sort out whether you're at risk. Usually people are going to find out about this because one of these zombie foreclosures is going to start with a lawsuit that's brought against the homeowner. A foreclosure in New York State is a court process. So a homeowner would be sued in a foreclosure case. They will get served with a summons and complaint. And that's what's going to, that is typically the first alert that homeowners get, or they might get a pre-foreclosure notice in advance of the lawsuit being started after going, a decade possibly without hearing about the loan. So if you get a notice like that, or if you get served with a lawsuit, don't sit on it. Don't ignore it. Get yourself to a free legal services provider that can give you trusted advice about how to deal with the situation.
We can't tell you who to vote for, what to have for lunch, or when to find a new job. We also can't tell you when the best time is to buy a house. Experts have said for months that the lack of supply in the housing market has driven up prices. At the same time, despite what we've seen historically, higher prices have been paired with high mortgage rates. Those two factors usually offset one another. High prices would lead to low mortgage rates. High mortgage rates would lead to low prices. It used to be the American way. But now, experts don't know what's going to happen. Homeowners with low mortgage rates are refusing to move, and a generation of first-time homebuyers are ready to get into the market. So we have more questions than answers. If mortgage rates fall and homeowners flood the market with more properties, does it mean prices will finally come down? And if they do, how low could they go? Will us millennials and Gen Zers finally be able to have our avocado toast and eat it too? We'll have to wait and see. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.